Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, American Icon Alan Mulally and the Fight to Save Ford Motor Company by Bryce G. Hoffman is narrative business nonfiction about one of the most closely watched corporate turnarounds of the 2000s. The book follows Ford Motor Company as it confronts years of internal dysfunction and mounting financial pressure, then enters the 2008 to 2010 industry crisis, while its Detroit rivals pursue bankruptcy and federal rescue. Hoffman, an automotive journalist with deep reporting access, tells the story largely through the actions and decisions of CEO Alan Mulally, who arrived from Boeing and pushed a unifying strategy that Ford labeled the One Ford Plan. Rather than present a detached management textbook, the book aims to show leadership in motion executives arguing over priorities, teams forced to share bad news, and a culture that has to change before products and balance sheets can change. Its purpose is both documentary and instructive, translating a complex industrial crisis into a case study on strategy, accountability, and organizational behavior. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the One Ford Plan is a unifying strategic spine. A central topic is Mulally's insistence on a single shared plan that could align a sprawling global company. Ford had long operated through strong regional and functional silos, which made it difficult to prioritize investments, standardize processes, or speak to the market with a coherent product message. The One Ford Plan is presented as a strategic spine rather than a slogan: simplify the portfolio, concentrate resources, and coordinate decisions across geographies so the company can execute faster and with less internal friction. In the book's telling, the unification is as much psychological as operational. Leaders who were used to defending their turf must accept enterprise-level goals, and teams must treat information as shared property rather than leverage in internal politics. This focus clarifies why turnaround work is not only about cutting costs. It is also about deciding what the organization will be, what it will stop doing, and how it will measure progress in a way that the whole company can understand. The topic matters because it frames the rest of the story. Culture change, meetings, labor talks, and product focus all serve the One Ford direction. Secondly, business plan review meetings and the discipline of transparency. Hoffman highlights the business plan review as a practical mechanism for turning lofty intentions into daily behavior. These recurring meetings, led by Mulally, force leaders to report against the same metrics and to surface problems early rather than hiding them until they became disasters. The emphasis on visible status, consistent templates, and shared problem solving is portrayed as a break from a culture where bad news could be punished and therefore avoided. In the narrative, the meetings become an accountability engine. Commitments are recorded, obstacles are confronted in front of peers, and leaders learn that the goal is not to look good, but to get better. The BPR approach also changes the social fabric of the leadership team. When executives watch others admit issues without being humiliated, the incentive shifts toward candor and collaboration. That matters in a crisis, when decisions must be made with incomplete information, and the cost of denial is high. The book uses this topic to show how a leader can institutionalize truth-telling, not through speeches, but through repeatable operating rhythms that reshape incentives. Thirdly, cultural transformation from infighting to working together. Another major topic is the cultural reset required to make any turnaround stick. Hoffman describes a Ford that, before the crisis peak, struggled with distrust, rivalry, and a tendency to protect individual domains at the expense of the enterprise. Mulally's contribution is not framed as charisma alone, but as consistent reinforcement of teamwork, respect, and shared responsibility. Over time, the tone shifts from blaming to diagnosing, from secrecy to information sharing, and from individual heroics to coordinated execution. The book also shows that culture is not changed by a single dramatic moment. It is changed by repeated signals about what is acceptable, what is rewarded, and what is no longer tolerated. That includes how leaders respond to problems, how they talk about colleagues, and whether they treat operational reality as a common enemy rather than a political weapon. This topic is important because it explains why Ford could pursue difficult moves without fragmenting further. A company can have a solid plan and still fail if the internal environment punishes honesty and discourages cross-functional cooperation. The narrative uses Ford as a vivid illustration of culture as a performance multiplier. Fourthly, crisis leadership and liquidity focus during the financial meltdown. The 2008 financial crisis serves as the external stress test that reveals whether Ford's internal changes are real. Hoffman chronicles a period when demand collapsed, credit tightened, and the industry faced existential questions. In that environment, leadership must prioritize liquidity and speed while preserving enough strategic coherence to avoid panic-driven damage. The book contrasts the intensity of the moment with the need for steady communication and decision discipline. It also emphasizes that crisis leadership is not only about boldness but about staying oriented to facts, coordinating stakeholders, and maintaining credibility with employees, lenders, and the public. Ford is notable in this era for avoiding bankruptcy and a federal bailout, even as other large U.S. automakers sought government support. Hoffman presents that outcome as the product of earlier groundwork and a relentless focus on execution under pressure. This topic matters to readers because it turns abstract lessons about resilience into concrete managerial challenges, balancing short-term survival with long-term capability, confronting painful realities without demoralizing teams, and making decisions that will be judged in real time by markets and by Washington. Lastly, managing stakeholders, unions, suppliers, and the broader industry, the turnaround story is also a stakeholder story. Ford could not stabilize itself through internal reforms alone because its performance depended on labor relationships, supplier health, and competitive dynamics across the industry. Hoffman describes Mullally and Ford's leadership engaging in hard negotiations and alliance building to keep the system functioning, including work with the United Auto Workers and efforts to avoid a supply-based collapse that would have harmed multiple automakers. These episodes show that corporate survival in manufacturing is ecosystem-dependent. A company can improve its own processes, yet still be derailed if key partners fail or if labor agreements cannot support a viable cost structure. The book uses this theme to broaden the definition of leadership beyond the executive suite. It includes the ability to communicate across constituencies with conflicting incentives, to build trust under stress, and to seek solutions that preserve long-term capacity rather than extracting short-term wins that damage relationships. For readers, the practical takeaway is that stakeholder management is not a soft skill add-on. In a capital-intensive industry, it becomes a core operational capability, especially during downturns when every party is exposed. In conclusion, American Icon is best suited to executives, managers, MBA students, and readers of business narrative who want a detailed case study of turnaround leadership without the feel of a formulaic handbook. It offers practical benefits for anyone responsible for operating rhythms, cross-functional execution, or culture change. The book shows how a leader can create clarity through a simple strategic frame, then reinforce that clarity through meetings and metrics that normalize truth-telling and shared accountability. It also provides an intellectual benefit for readers interested in American industrial history and the modern realities of global manufacturing, where success depends on supply chains, labor arrangements, and financial resilience as much as on product decisions. What helps it stand out among corporate turnaround books is its inside, scene-driven approach and its focus on culture as an operating system. Many business classics emphasize strategy or finance, while American Icon repeatedly demonstrates that behavioral norms and information flow can determine whether a plan is executable. As compared with crisis chronicles that concentrate on markets and policy, it keeps attention on what leaders actually do each week to change an organization. Readers looking for a leadership playbook grounded in a high stakes, real-world transformation will find it both instructive and memorable, even when the level of detail is more novelistic than purely analytical. If you would like to support Bryce G. Hoffman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.